That's what I'm talking about. Father, we thank you, Father, for our testimony. Thank you for the blood of Jesus. It's by the word of our testimony and the blood of Jesus that we overcome. And this morning, as we continue our series in discipleship, we've talked about a lot of things, the way of devotion, the way of prayer, so many different paths that a disciple must take. And today, Father, as we talk about the way of charity, I pray that we walk that way because Jesus did. And he's our instructor. He's our great teacher. And I pray this morning is less of me and more of him, so that the hearts of those who need to hear will hear loudly and clearly from you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. So another aspect of walking as a disciple of Jesus Christ, we're talking about the different ways that we walk with Jesus Christ, is the way of what we call Christian stewardship. Christian stewardship. What are you entrusted with? What God has entrusted you with to be a good steward over, a good overseer of, taking care of it. Taking care of what God has given you and using it to bring him glory and to promote the well-being of his children. Are you a good steward? The way of Christian stewardship. We also call it charity. 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 And charity is simply this. The spirit of generosity. Generous people. Generosity. The willingness, here it's key, the willingness and the delight to give. Oh, man, I got to give this morning. It's probably just for the pastor's salary anyway. How many actually do you think in the church as a whole, all around, actually give enthusiastically with delight as part of being obedient unto the call of other-orientedness and charity that God puts upon his disciples? Sometimes we don't think of it that way. We just think of it as part of the service. Oh, we just give. It's just, this is what you do. You come to church and you give. No, you're given every day, you're given every hour, you're given every moment of your life, everything that you say, everything that you do, everything that you perform, everything that you work for. There's always an aspect of generosity or giving that can be placed on anything, not just your money, but your time and your talents and all of the things that people are yearning to be a part of. Love. Give it away. Just give it away. Even when you don't feel like it. But charity is that spirit of generosity, but it comes with it. What comes with it is a willingness and a delight to do it. Jesus teaches us this godly principle in his word, Luke 6:38. Let's look at it. It's going to be very simple today. Luke 6:38. Of course, Luke 6:38, maybe I'll get it. Oh, is it up there? Okay. Give, and it will be given to you. They will pour into your lap a good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. Just keep the scripture up there for a minute. You know what that means? Shake it, press it down, make sure every nook and cranny is filled, and then when it's finally filled and there's no space left in the jar, it runs over. So the principle here that Jesus is saying, and we have to believe it, right? He's not a man that he should lie. Given, it'll be given to you. And it'll be poured out into your lap in good measure. It's going to be pressed down, shaken together, and running over. For by your standard of measure, it will be measured to you in return. So to the measure in which you're generous, that you have charity, that you have a good Christian stewardship about you, this, whatever you're giving, will be measured back to you in that same amount. According to that proportion that you give, you'll get back. In the scripture, God promises reciprocity. That's what the word reciprocity means. You give, and God returns unto you. You'll see in a minute the motivation behind that, and we'll clarify that. But the principle is there. Whatever and however you give, it will be measured back to you in the same response in which you give it. It's just one of those things that's it's one of the kingdom laws. It's what heaven declares, and so it be. It's called reciprocity, meaning to return to you a gift or favor in kind. In kind. I give you an elephant, you give me back a giraffe. That's not in kind. I give you a car, you give me back a popsicle. That's not in kind. Reciprocity means returning to you a gift or a favor, a gift or a favor or a generous act or a stewardship act. It's returning to you in kind, in the same measure, of the same type, of the same kind. Well, like for like, okay? Or of the same substance is another way of putting it. Let me give you an example. You give forgiveness, what are you going to get back? Forgiveness. You give money, the check's in the mail, and all of a sudden you go, oh my gosh, where did that come from? I didn't even have it to give, but I gave and I got back. You give money, you get money. You give assistance, what are you going to get back? Assistance. This is how the kingdom of God works. It's measured out to you, and it's measured in kind, and it's given back to you. As you are a good steward with the things of God, God will give you back in the measure and the kind that you gave. Jesus is saying to us that God will restore unto us that which we give. And he uses people as his means to do it. Oh, well, somebody in the church will. It could be somebody from East Oshkosh. A friend of mine, pastor friend of mine, John Pellinero, had a church and has a church up in Gastonia. And he wanted, had a building fund going on, just like we have a building fund going on and stuff like that. But he wanted to do major renovations and add these kinds of things and stuff like that. And they didn't have the money. And as he went into his prayer time, which he did for faithfully for years and years and years, every single morning at 5 o'clock at the altar praying and doing what he needed to do, he got a knock on a door at like 5 o'clock in the morning, 6 o'clock in the morning. Door opens up. He says, can I help you? And he says, no, but I may be able to help you. And he got handed a check for $1 million.
Yep, non-member.
God's principles work. He was giving of himself. He was giving of his finances. He was giving it away. And in return, God said, I'm going to give you back in a measure that's running over and you can't contain it. Because I'm a bigger giver than you are. Because you can't outgive God, folks. I don't care what you give, how you give, and how much you give, and how often you give. There's no way you'll ever outgive God. He gave it to us all in Jesus, right? There's nothing you can contain with that, right? Now, sometimes we wait for God to give to us so we can then give. That's not how it works. Got it backwards. You're waiting for God to give it to you so you can give it away. That's not the way it's going to work. It's when you don't have it that you give that you're going to get back. It's wrong order. God is waiting on your charity. That's what we're talking about today, before giving back. He wants to see that your heart is right in your giving. And it may wait and come down the line a ways. Well, I gave, and you said that if I tithed, I was going to get blessed and given back. Yeah, well, maybe 10 years from now. Because we don't know God's timing in it all, because maybe your heart wasn't right in it. But I guarantee you, God doesn't lie, and his principles do work. You will be blessed if you tithe. You will be blessed if you give. You will be blessed if you are a good steward with what God has given you. I'm just telling you, you will be in his timing, but you will be. God, again, if we give to God in small containers, God gives back to us in small containers. He uses the same containers in which we bring our gifts to measure his gifts back to us. But remember, that same exact container is going to be shaken together, pressed down, and running over. So really, the reciprocity on God's side, you get a little more. Because I'm sure that when you give, no, I'm not sure. But when you give your all. You shake it, and you press it down, and you let it run over, and then you hand it to somebody. Sometimes it's like we're looking and we're going, okay, I have 4 hours today. It's free time. I don't want to give all the 4 hours to Dan Allen today because if I do that, then I'm going to miss Everybody Loves Raymond. That's not shaken together. That means turn that TV off, cancel that appointment. I'm giving you my entire 4 hours, and you know what? I might even run over half an hour. But see, that's kingdom life. That's Jesus. That's what he would do, just to get you to smile. That's charity. That's stewardship. That's God going, hey, check out my boy over here. Look at him. I mean, he was only required to give 10%, but he gave 11. Can you believe that? And how about the guy over there? He gives 30% of everything he's got. Whoa! How do you think he found Job? How do you think he found Noah? You think he's not looking? Doesn't he know what you do every day, how you do it, and with the motivation of your heart? He certainly did with Noah and said, there's a blameless man for you. He certainly did with Noah. He said, there's a blameless man for you, right? Job, blameless. Didn't mean sinless, but blameless. He had God's heart. David had God's heart. Just watch the containers in which you measure your gifts in. Because if you really, really want the blessing of God, but your heart motivation is to bless others, and that's why you give, you're going to get God's blessing back. 2 Corinthians 9:6. This is the way of discipleship. This is just the way the people of God should function. Now this I say, he who sows sparingly, again Jesus, I mean Paul saying this here, this I say, he who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. And he who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. I think you're catching on that there's a principle throughout God's word that you'll reap what you sow. You'll get back what you give. God wants to bless you. God wants to see the motivation in your heart and your generosity and your charity. Giving without regard to whether or not you got enough, you're making sure you're other oriented. That's God's heart. Because he died for you on the cross. He gave everything he had for you. And he didn't expect anything in return. There's nothing that we could do to jump through those hoops. He just gave it unconditionally. You weren't required to do a thing for what he did. So when we actually do give, and we give in good stewardship, how much more does God want to just saturate you with his blessing? It's the way of heaven. It's God's economy, if you will. What people get hung up on, and I'm going to just tell you flat out front, what people get hung up on is God's timing in which he gives back. And we talked about that. It could be immediate or it could tarry for a while. You got to be okay with that. It becomes a matter of trust. Is God's principle what it is? Can I trust God in this? This principle of giving is both understood and misunderstood in our time. We do understand it, but we also misunderstand it. We've got to interpret this principle in light of Jesus' lifestyle. Anytime we have a question about the words of Scripture and the meaning behind it and the principles behind it, we just look at the life of Christ because he exemplified it. You can have knowledge, but experience, an experience that comes from the Lord himself, is the best you can get. I envy the disciples walking with Jesus and being taught day by day because they caught more than they taught. They watched him. They saw what he did. And that spoke to him much more loudly than the words. Because the words, they were always going, well, what do you mean? What do you mean? What do you mean? But when he did it, it was plain to their sight. He lived for the truth. Jesus in the Bible is called what? The way, which is what we're studying, the way of charity, right? The truth and the life. He lived for the truth, not to acquire assets. Ooh. Jesus' lifestyle was to live for the truth, not to acquire assets. Like the man who put in the barn all that stuff and said, now I got enough for my retirement and everything else, and it's filled to the brim, and I got two of them and stuff like that, and it's taken me all this time to work, and I've saved, and I've been a good steward with my money because I put it all away now for my family, and it's good, and it's for retirement, and the Lord came down and said, you fool. Your life is demanded of you tonight. What good are those barns going to be to you? Layman's terms. The motivation of his heart was wrong. Okay to acquire assets, but what do you do with them? His spirit, we're talking God now, is one of generosity, not greed. This world is full of greed. God's world is full of generosity. Luke 12:15. It's the way of charity. It's the way of stewardship. Then he said to them, beware and be on your guard against every form of greed. He knew it was going to come at you left and right because that's what the devil's motif is. He's a greedy booger. And he wants you to become one. He wants you to hold on to what you got and not let it go. Gimme, 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 my name is Jimmy. My wife used to say to our kids, gimme hands. You got gimme hands. Let go, let go, let go. Let go of that. It's mine. What's one of the first words children learn? Mine. Before mommy and daddy, mine. You know, you're laughing because it's true. For not even when one has an abundance, I don't care how much you have, you'll live to your means. I did it all my life. You know, you live to your means. If you're making $100 a week, you'll make it work. You have to. Or you die. If you're making $200 a week, you'll live to your means. You know what? You live to your means. It's a way. For not even when one has an abundance. These millionaires are blowing their brains out. Because they haven't filled the void with what really counts, and that's God. They've tried to fill the void with pleasure and money, and they found that even if they have it all, they're going to die without hope. You got to have God. Solomon proved it when he wrote the whole book of Ecclesiastes. It's vanity. It's all vanity. He said, I had all the vineyards. I had all the houses. I had all the women. I had everything that you could possibly take pleasure in. And yet, without God, there was nothing but a void. So the essence... So here we go. The essence of this principle of giving is not to give to get, but to give to have to give again. Yes. I'm going to say that again. God's principle of giving is not give to get, but give to have to give again. So that what you are is a vehicle and a vessel of God's mercy and love and charity and generosity and fellowship. You're just a means on this earth while you're here, because you ain't taking it with you, to be just a vessel of it flowing through you to do God's work on the earth. I'm just giving you God's perspective from heaven, okay, from his word. It is intended not to stir up greed in you, but to build unshakable confidence in God our provider. No matter how much you give, you know that God will never leave you alone or ever forsake you or ever see you go hungry or begging bread. No matter how much you give, if you gave it all away, Reed Howells, or I think that was his name, Reed Howells, he was an intercessory prayer warrior. He learned, I know I've told you this before and learned that lesson, but you know what? God told him to give $100, piece of cake. He told him to give $10 first, piece of cake. Told him to give $100, piece of cake. Then he told him to give his truck away. My truck? But he heard the voice of God. He knew it wasn't just something that, oh, I'm just trying to be a good Christian. God told him, give your truck away. He gave his truck away. It was, kicking and screaming. Then you can imagine it was his house, and he was like, no, not my house. God, I mean, all my life, 50 years, I've worked for my house. But he knew it was God's voice. It wasn't just to be a good Christian. Not everybody's asked to give their house away, so don't sweat it. But he was. See, he speaks to each of us personally. If he tells you to give to that waitress in there who doesn't have anything, and tells, hey, take that $20 you were saving to go to the movies with and give it to that waitress. Same principle, different thing, but we's house. Now it's a house. Then he was given $1 million. And God said, give it away. He's like, okay. Because he'd already been through the $10, the $100, the truck, and the house. All right, fine. But see, God's principle works. He got it back. He got $10 million. God said, give it away. Didn't even hesitate. Gave it all away. Came into the life with nothing, going out with nothing. God's principle. He says, give it away. I'm going to give it away. He'll provide. Hey, that principle of reciprocity, I trust it. Well, then God gave him enough money. It was something like $100, $200 million and told him exactly what it was going to be used for. And he was used for that to build a seminary over in England with all this campus full of training up pastors and teachers and apostles and prophets. God had to teach him what it meant to be generous and to be entrusted with stewardship. Once God taught him that lesson after the $10, the $100, the house, the car, the thing, and knew that Reese was going to do whatever he said, he gave him the overflow, of which at that point in time, what did he do? Keep it? No. Put it into And during this entire time, he never begged bread and never had want. That's the principle of good stewardship. You have to hear from God as well. Well, I don't hear from God, therefore I don't have to give. If you're not hearing from God, then just follow the other principles in the Bible that says you're commanded to tithe. You're not even given when you tithe. You're doing what's required, says Malachi. Giving only comes when you give above and beyond what's required. So there are still principles that will force you to put your hand in your wallet and or your time and or your resources. And all the excuses that you give, oh, they just want our money and they're just televangelists and they want this and want that. Well, some of them, you know what, I would agree with you. Yeah, they are after your money and that's what their purpose is. But you know what, I think God's given us brain cells and we have the wisdom and discernment to know when those are the ones that are asking for it to build their own kingdom. Just look at their life and you can basically probably tell. But use wisdom and discernment with that. But giving is one of Jesus Christ gave his life. I mean, giving is the principle in the Bible we should probably honor the most. And again, don't limit this whole discussion to money because it's not. It's your time and your talent and your love and your just everything that's about you. It's your life. So, it's intended not to stir up greed but to build unshakable confidence in your provider. Well, what does he say about that? Philippians 4:19. And my God will what? Supply all your needs according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus. Notice this, his riches in glory. It doesn't say in riches in George Washington and Benjamin Franklin and in $10 bills and $5 bills. He will provide for you. Psalm 37:25. I've been young and now I'm old. How did he read my mind? Golly. Yet I have not seen the righteous forsaken.
That's right.
Or his descendants begging bread. It's God's ways. Jesus is history's prime example of being non-materialistic. I will say that again. Jesus is history's prime example of being non-materialistic. He knew life is of spiritual essence. Our life is a spirit being. When you die, I don't know if you've ever looked at it, but you're going to go back to the dust and the dirt from which you came, your body. Your spirit is alive, and it will be with Christ forever. I watched one time a friend of mine, his dad was a mortician, and he had it, and when he did the, what do you call that, when you get cremated? I watched one of those things. Ugh. It started out, there you were. And when it was done, there was a vial about that big that had you in it. Sometimes with a little gold tooth in there for a little bit extra tip for the mortician that you forgot to take out, right? No, I'm just kidding. But it's the dust. Your bodies are only here to adapt you and to make you aware of and help you function in the environment in which God has placed you. Once you have no more need for this environment in which God placed you, he will give you a new body suitable for the environment he's going to put you in. Hence why Jesus' glorified body could come right through that wall. He was living in a different dimension, of which this dimension was far inferior. He knew life was spiritually essence. He could care less about accumulating stuff that's destined to go back to the dust. It's just the way heaven is. Our life is found in our relationship to God through Christ. That's where our life is. In relationship to the Father through the Son, under the power and influence of the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
God does not want us to live for worldly gain. It should not be your aim. Now, he provides some people with the resources, so you do have a lot so that you can flow and function in the ministry and be called in that specific gifting to be a, quote, giver, like Reese Howells was. I mean, he's got to teach you before he's going to get you to that point. Why? Because otherwise, all you're going to accumulate is probably 3 or 4 mansions, 4 or 5 boats, 6 or 7 cars, stuff you don't really need, but you want it because you think it, you know, fulfills something in you that will never be fulfilled other than with God. It should not be your aim. But if we're blessed with money, hey, praise God, right? Nothing wrong with money itself. It's the motivation that's behind it. He's going to provide an abundance of it when he knows he can trust you with it. We need to learn to be content with having our needs met. We got to be content with our needs being met. 1 Timothy 6:8. If we have food and covering with these things, shall we be content? Shall be content. We shall be content. Food and covering. Is that the word of God or is it not the word of God? We should be content with that. If we have more, praise God, like we just said. If we get more, praise God, that's fine. But with food and clothing and fulfilling the purpose of God and God delighting in us through our life by fulfilling our divine destiny, that's the most important thing. We were created to glorify God, not glorify our own lives. Our motivation to give should always come from a pure heart, a pure heart, a pure heart. 2 Corinthians 9:7-8. Each one must do as he has purposed in his heart. Not grudgingly or under compulsion, God twisting your arm, get up there and give. Go over to that person's house and give it your time. Go over there and yet. For God loves what? A cheerful giver. Wow, I have the opportunity to give into the offering today. Hallelujah. Wow, I have the opportunity to go visit today because I found 3 extra hours and I'm not going to use it on myself. I'm going to go give it to that person who really, really needs a friend right now. God going, I love a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound to you. In other words, you know what? When you're down and out and you just feel like you got nothing, all you've been doing is giving, 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 and you're worn out, he's going to give you as much grace as you need to get through that. So that always having all sufficiency in everything, you may have an abundance for every good deed. That means he's going to continue to supply you so that you don't say, oh, I'm tired and lazy and I can't believe I've just given so much of myself. You're going to have so much that all you're going to be doing is giving, giving, giving. That's what that said. Put that back up there for me, if you will, Pam. You're going to have an abundance for every good deed. That means for every good deed that you do, normally we're going to go, okay, I'm on a run. And then it's like, well, now I'm kind of walking because I've been doing lots of good deeds. Oh, I've been doing a lot of good deeds. Boy, I've been doing a lot of good deeds. Boy, do I have a need. Things slow down. We get weary. We get tired. I've give. Nobody gives back. Nobody cares about me. Why do I always have to be the one that gives? And all sufficiency in everything that you may have an abundance for every good deed. His grace will give you the ability to give and give and give and give and never get weary. I can't do that in my own strength, but the Holy Spirit can just make you such a giver that it just goes beyond your normal strength and you have an abundance to do every good deed that comes along. That's my boy. I can trust him to give a good deed here. That's my boy, girl. She's my girl. I'm going to do it over here. Over here, over here, over here, over here. Sometimes he has to use the same people all the time until we get it. And you know some people like that in your life who do get it. And they give. And when they give, you see that big old smile on their face because they do it cheerfully. Now, don't make the mistake of thinking that when the Lord is addressing giving through scriptures, it's solely about money, as I have already said, because it's not. We also give of our time, patience, hello, hospitality, loyalty, sharing biblical truth. Joy sang about that. Submission to authority. That's giving. It's giving them your servitude. And forgiveness. Oh, let's not forget forgiveness. You better give that one away, because if you don't give it away, we get back to the first principle. You reap what you sow.
That's right.
God says, I can't forgive you if you don't forgive others. I don't care what that guy's done to you, what that girl's done to you, how you were born, what you were born into, what you were born out of. You don't have to like the person, but you got to love them. You don't have to sit there and say what they did was okay. You got to forgive them, though, and trust God with the ramifications and circumstances that will come into their life. Because if you harbor unforgiveness, it is going to cause bitterness in you, and that causes cancer. And it causes a horrible, horrible, ill, it just makes you ill. So give forgiveness, even if you don't think they deserve it. It's no skin off your back. I forgive them, God. They may go to jail for the rest of their life and have to serve that thing, and you may be going, huh, they got what they deserve, but you got to forgive them. There's always, always consequences for behavior, whether in this life or the next. The worst thing that could happen to a person is they go to hell because they don't know Jesus.
Right.
And they've treated you with such horrible, horrible, horrible circumstances, and you're just going, Lord, they're getting away with all this, and they've ruined my life, and you forgive them, and they never find Jesus. What could be worse than them going to hell? You think you feel better then? I don't think so. Somehow, no matter how somebody treats you, I don't think you'd feel better with them going to hell. You'd want them to find Christ somehow. That's a Christian. And when you give, let the Spirit lead you in your giving. Did you hear me?
Yes.
When you give, let the Spirit lead you in your giving according to the present need. You know when the Spirit's telling you to give, and if you don't, you're just going against it, and you're quenching the Holy Spirit. You don't want to do that. If somebody's hungry, give them something to eat. Don't just pray that they get something. The Good Samaritan gave his time, his assistance, his materials, his forethought, and his money because they were presently needed. That's what he came across. That's what he satisfied. As we learn to give, a transformation is taking place in us. Oh, I gave. Look at the transformation in that family. They now have more money, or they have a stove, or they have clothing, or they have covering. Look what they got, and look what I did. Actually, it's not them that are receiving the benefit. All they get, though, they get the benefit. You are the one that's transformed. We're being conformed into the image of the Son of God. We cease craving to get, and we begin delighting to give. John Wesley said, earn all you can, save all you can, and give all you can. It said that it's more blessed to give than to receive. So let the Spirit of God enlarge your heart and have faith in His endless provision. This is the way of walking as a disciple in Christian stewardship or charity.